our God, a higher power.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hit, miss, and then a thought. He speaks through thought, but that's really hit or miss because the enemy speaks through thought. We speak to ourselves through thought, but that knowing is just, for me, whenever it's, it hadn't come a lot. It's only come about as much as the audible voice of God. But it's very strong. I mean, I go to the gun with that when I get that.
Do you, from the encounters you've had with the Lord, do you believe in the end he will be more forgiving than he will judgmental? In other words, I vacillate back and forth. You know, I have a friend of mine, Catholic priest. Of course, he believes that probably in the end, even, you know, Hitler, everybody picks on Hitler, that Hitler will be saved. I don't know. And then there's those that believe once saved, always saved. Now, I don't know if Hitler was ever saved. I'm not suggesting that. But so I often wonder because I just wonder.
I just think everybody thinks in America, I mean, every funeral, everybody's going to heaven. And then says the Rose Narrow if you travel it. Says we'll be judging angels. I don't think like Hitler's going to be judging angels.
Then I think we haven't. If that's true, then we really have need to shake in our boots. Unless you're born again. Now Paul said, "Don't be entangled again." Once you've truly been born again, that you're saved.
Yeah,
the gift of God. Do you believe that?
Yes, I believe you are, and I don't believe.
So you and I both having had these interventions with a living God, you believe we're in.
Yeah. I totally know. I could walk away. It doesn't mean the enemy can snatch me out of his hands as long as my heart's right. Well, but I could choose to walk away. I do believe that totally. But
I don't know if you ever would, though. I mean, I was just thinking the other day, if they put me up in front of a guillotine, I said, I don't know. I mean, I don't, because I know now pre-Holy Spirit, Peter says, I would die for you, and then denies him thrice before the rooster crows. And because he's scared to keep his own life. After the resurrection and the power comes down from above, Pentecost, he's on the beach, Jesus, and he has a fire set and reenacts. People don't realize this. Reenacts. He says three times, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Peter, do you love me? Then feed ye my sheep. In other words, people don't realize he was reenacting his denial now, and Jesus chooses him to, you know, to build his church upon this rock, you know, Petra, right? So once you have the Holy Spirit, I just wondered about that. I want to go back right now, though. Let's go back to your beginnings. We're talking, by the way, with James Wrench. He's ironically, he's a car mechanic who works on race cars. Now, come on. This is dubious. Somebody's got to be thinking, God has a sense of humor. He does sometimes. He names you Wrench.
Yeah, and I was always into racing, but I had an irrigation business 30 years. And he gave me a dream, said, you need to work on cars. This is what you're created to do. This is the only way you're going to make it. And it was 2 months before the crash hit in 2008, which there was, if I wouldn't have listened, I'd have been in trouble. But it was Sunday. I woke up. There's a church central assembly. They have prophetic ministry after church. I said, Lord, forgive
me. On Sundays.
Yes. I said, Lord, forgive me, but I need a confirmation. So I went there, and
Sunday nights, you
go into a room. You get a ticket after the church. You go in a room, three people. They just want you to say your name.
Is this Central Assembly of God right here in Vero Beach, Florida? Are they doing that now? Or
I don't know if they still do it with the new pastor, but they did it for many years.
Because we went there. I had a miracle there. I'll tell you about that sometime.
Okay. So anyway, I just got the ticket, and I said, Lord, if you want me to start a garage, show me when I go in here. So I go in. I tell them my name. They don't want you to say anything. I'm just sitting there, and they're not saying anything for a little bit, which is unusual.
Because they don't know you're from Adam.
Well, they usually have prophesied, though. I'd been there before and done that.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady looks up and says, I just don't have any clue what in the world this means. God just keeps showing me this garage door opening. I said, well, that's all I needed. So I started the garage. Then 2 months later, the crash hit, and there was no irrigation. Thank God. And God just opened the door. I was flying to Santo Domingo. I'd fly back, and then because I was doing a healing classes at a House of Prayer in Fort Pierce, so I said, I got to be back Tuesday night. I'd fly back, and then I'd fly to Aruba for another team.
What are you doing going to all these places?
I was tuning on race cars.
You're tuning what?
Tuning race cars.
Tuning race cars. So these are wealthy individuals.
Yeah, these were. One was the only importer of wine.
Hey, Siri, turn off all alarms.
One was
Okay.
The only importer of wine into the Dominican Republic.
Who was the only importer?
One of the racers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, there's a fellow in town here. I bet you know who he is. Recently, I met a man. He was right in here, sat there. He has done very well financially. He came from a poor background. He was recently out at Central Assembly for some sort of a car show. He's in Fort Pierce, and he's done extremely well.
Dave?
Yes. So
I know
him.
Dave.
Okay.
Yeah. He goes House of Prayer, or used to.
Yeah, he just bought a new Ferrari for $1.1
million. Yeah, he's there.
But he has all this collection of cars, and he uses it to connect with people and talk.
Yeah.
And then he says, he's a very modest, soft-spoken, humble man.
Yeah, I like Dave.
Yeah, I mean, who couldn't like Dave? God likes humble.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pride really gets you in trouble with God.
Now, do you think you ever had a problem with pride?
I think everybody does.
Okay, everybody.
You know, I have to be careful of that. If you really look, it's very where we don't even realize it.
Well, it's very hard to get up in front of an audience and go, because honestly, I love doing what I do, but I also love the fact that I somehow get, but maybe there's nothing wrong with that. Is it wrong to be validated? Is it wrong that I get people far and wide that come up to me and say they hear me on CNO? Now, I don't make much dough at all off of CNO. I'm not doing it for dough. I'm doing it because Jesus said, why do you work for that which you cannot keep?
And
the things of the world. And for 26 years, I'm on a secular station. Now I've been on WCNO, and went from 1,000 watts to 100,000 watts. But what if one human being gets saved because of me being bold enough to do this on the air? It says all of heaven rejoices over one soul that's redeemed. Imagine, so it is written that God is not a man that he should lie, correct?
Yes.
So what happens? So some lady says, I came to know the Lord because of you. Oh, my word. I mean, you know, put up your treasure where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Where was I going with all this? I have to watch out.
We're talking about pride.
I want to go back before we forget, though. Okay, so we've both been men of pride at times. As all of us probably have. So wait a second. So you've got a girlfriend. I think you're smoking pot. What were you doing? And
I did occasional drugs, cocaine.
Okay.
But
okay.
I really
now
wasn't
what was this thing you shake for 4 hours? Did you
what
call
happened?
Upon the name of Jesus?
No. What happened was
TV show what?
What happened was my girlfriend had a bunch of cysts in her. They did operation, took out a bunch of female organs, and then she's still having pain. And we went back to the doctor, and they see more stuff in her, and we were going to have to go back and get it taken out. And a local man, Bobby Hopkins, which a lot of people know, he's a world champion arm wrestler 7 times, played pro football. I was doing the irrigation at his house, and I had shared with him about it, and he knew the Lord. He was on TBN and stuff, and didn't think nothing else about it. A couple days later, I had her out there with me checking the irrigation, and I introduced him. We're talking. He goes, oh, whoa, wait, you're the one. Did you go to the doctor and find out your cysts are gone? She goes, we go Friday. What are you talking about? We prayed about it in church. God showed me it's gone. Don't worry about it. Like, okay. And we were kind of in shock. And I think God zipped our mouths because we didn't even talk about it.
And you didn't even know the Lord at this point.
I was going to church, but I didn't know him. I wasn't filled with the Spirit. I was drinking and partying and living in total sin, thinking I was okay. So anyway, we go Friday and it's gone. So we go, let's go check this church out. And it was a small church, and that's where most of the miracles really happen. For some reason, the smaller ones. But he would pray for people at the end and take testimonies at the beginning. And I'm watching all these healings. I'm getting excited, and I'm walking out of church, and the pastor is saying, it's Bobby's dad, the sinner's prayer with my girlfriend. So I'm like, well, I don't know if I did that. I got baptized. He goes, well, it won't hurt to say it again. And I didn't know it. He had an anointing where he would hug people and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't even know being filled with the Holy Spirit was. So I say it with him, and the Holy Spirit come on me, and I just hit it. I was shaking.
Did he hug you?
No, he just prayed. I said the sinner's prayer.
Sinner's prayer, which is what? Jesus, I believe you died. You tell me.
Yes, it's what it says in Romans 10:9.
What?
That if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto salvation, and with your mouth confession is made. And
now I did that, but I was in my living room, but didn't get born again. I don't know yet. And then I continued yelling at the ceiling up to God, saying, "Okay, I'm a fool to live without you." I guess I was expecting something. I wasn't manipulating or demanding it, but I just, you know, saying, okay, okay. And then finally I said, okay, I believe you died on the cross, rose from the dead, and I surrender the rest of my life to you. And that's when the heavens opened up and I was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Praise God.
And I went, oh, this is why people do drugs. Drugs are the counterfeit. This is the real thing. And I sat down on a rocking chair and I said, this is what the black folks are talking about. I said, I always thought joy and happiness were synonyms. And this was joy. And I immediately knew what the black folks were talking about, joy. The joy of the Lord, here's my strength. Anyway, so I'm sitting there rocking in my rocking chair going, oh, you're real. You're real. But I was all by myself. Now, I want to know about you. So you... so you got to watch out because it'll get on me. See, I got that pride thing there. I want to connect. I'm always trying to, I want to connect to the audience. I want to connect to you. And so, but then nothing wrong with that, I guess, you know. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound those that are wise in their own eyes. That's why he chose me and probably you too, right? So anyway, so he hugs you, or no, he doesn't hug you, he prays with you.
Yeah.
And you start shaking, rattling inside when you said the sinner's prayer.
Yes.
What did that feel like?
It's weird because it felt good, but it felt a little fearful, and I didn't quite know, but I hid it from them. And I'm driving home with
my girlfriend,
I was like tensing up so she wouldn't see it. My jaw's going, and then I drank one time after that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt convicted. Now, I never felt convicted. I thought it was all good.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, do you think we do that there? Because I remember that's what happened to me. I got born again, came home, living with a gal, made love. Afterwards, I said, we can't do that anymore.
That's what I did.
Now, I don't know, was it me making up religion?
No, we never had the conviction. See, once the Holy Spirit comes in our spirit and we're born again, then, because before that, we have our own morals.
But I tried to live like a monk for 7 years after that. And I have to say, things happened in my life that I stopped living like a monk.
Yeah,
I did not live a celibate lifestyle. But for many, many years, I did. And I said I was going to be the best son you ever had, but it didn't work out that way. I mean, next to Jesus, I was going to be the best son you ever had, you know? So you were convicted, you drank that drink, and you just knew that it was wrong.
Yeah, well, I drank and came home and felt convicted, and then never drank again.
Wow.
Never did another drug. Quit sleeping my girlfriend.
Pardon me?
Quit sleeping my girlfriend. We finally broke up, and I knew I didn't want
to. Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Turn my weeping into laughter.